thank you all for coming to our session on border effects on alcohol and problems, U.S.-Mexico study on alcohol and related conditions. This is a project that's been funded by the National Institute of Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism, and there are three research teams involved in the project. Those of us at the Alcohol Research Group in Emeryville, California, and Tom Greenfield, and used to be Ann Lown. Well, she's still Ann Lown, but she used to be at the Alcohol Research Group, and myself will be making presentations from that group. Ann is now at the University of California in San Francisco, but still has some ties to us. And the second research group is the National Institute of Psychiatry in Mexico City, and Guillermo Borges will be making a presentation on behalf of that group. And the third group that helped conduct the project is the University of Texas in Austin. So, I will be starting with a paper on border effects on alcohol use disorders on both sides of the U.S.-Mexico border. And Tom then will be following that with alcohol use patterns and alcohol problems of Mexican and Mexican origin adults around the U.S.-Mexico border. And that follows fairly closely with my presentation, so that's why we've paired those. And then is going to be making a presentation on the association between hazardous drinking and exposure to community violence in the U.S.-Mexico border region. And finally, Guy Borges is going to be making a presentation on co-occurrence of alcohol use disorders and symptoms of drug use disorders among immigrant groups living on both sides of the U.S.-Mexico border. This was a five-year grant. We are now in a no-cost extension year. It consisted, I think, of 2 years of data collection. It's been quite a major undertaking, and these are the very first papers that are coming out of this project, and really the very first study that has been conducted simultaneously on both sides of the U.S.-Mexico border. I have no disclosures to disclose. So, to give you just a little background, as you probably know, there's been a lot of recent media attention on the U.S.-Mexico border with what's called the drug violence epidemic. This has actually been going on now for some time, but continues, is actually escalating to some degree. There's also a high prevalence of unemployment on both sides of the U.S.-Mexico border. And in Mexico, a lower drinking age in the U.S., and that's actually under-enforced, and the availability of low-cost alcohol. So stresses of living at the border and some of these environmental factors, including the availability of alcohol, we thought might have resulted in an increase of drinking problems, including alcohol use disorders. So there's been very little epidemiologic evidence looking at drinking patterns and problems at the border, so that's why we conducted this study. And this particular paper is looking at the relationship of proximity of living at the border to alcohol use disorders on both sides. The samples were household surveys on both sides. We interviewed people in their own homes in both border and non-border locations. In Texas, we had 2,336 Mexican origin individuals. And 771 of these came what we consider the non-border city of San Antonio, and 1,565 from the border cities of Laredo and McAllen-Brownsville. McAllen and Brownsville are two separate cities in two separate counties at the border, but the metropolitan areas adjoin one another, so we treated them as sort of one large metropolitan area. In Mexico, we had 2,460 Mexicans, or 811 non-border residents in Monterrey, and then we had 1,649 border city residents, and they were in sister cities from Nuevo Laredo, which is a sister city of Laredo, and Reynosa, Matamoros, which are the sister cities of, respectively, McAllen and Brownsville, also two separate cities, but with adjoining metropolitan areas. We use multi-stage area probability sampling of those 18 to 65. We had an 84% corporation rate in the U.S. and 71% in Mexico. The difference between the corporation rate and the response rate is that the corporation rate takes into consideration those who are presumed to be eligible in a household. So households that were thought to have someone age 18 to 65, and then on the U.S. side, those households which were thought to have a Mexican origin resident living there. As I said, we collected data simultaneously on both sides. We initially, we collected data in, for example, Laredo and Nuevo Laredo at the same time. Then we were going to collect the entire data set at the non-border cities of San Antonio and Monterey. But we decided, and then go back to the other sister city pairs, but we decided if anything happened in the interim that might affect our interest in border versus non-border drinking patterns and problems, that we needed to maybe space out the non-border data collection. So we collected half of the non-border data collection immediately after Laredo and Nuevo Laredo. Then we collected half of the non-border samples. Then we went to the other border locations, and then we went back to the interior locations again. So that we sort of spaced things out. So if anything happened in the interim, we at least had half a data set that we could work with, which we thought was better than none. The data were weighted to reflect the multi-stage clustered sampling design. And I will add, and I don't think at the time that we really knew this, but later we did, that the three border counties in Texas where the data were collected are actually the three poorest counties in the entire U.S. And in Mexico, the border areas actually are more affluent than the non-border areas, just the opposite of what we have in the U.S. The measures from a 45-minute face-to-face interview in respondents' homes, we use a DSM-5 alcohol use disorders. Those of you who know, some of you may not know, that this is a little variation from the DSM-4 in that abuse and dependence criteria have been collapsed. The criterion on abuse of having problems with the police has been taken out, and we added a criteria on craving that was also part of the DSM. And so it's one continuum, and two or more on any of the 11 criteria was positive for a DSM-5 alcohol use disorder. We looked at usual volume of alcohol, the average number of drinks over the last 30 days, and then the frequency of heavy drinking, which we called 5-plus drinking days, over the last year. We developed risk curves to predict the probability of alcohol use disorder based on volume of consumption adjusted for drink size and based on 5-plus drinking days using what's called a fractional polynomial modeling, which actually smooths out risk curves compared to a sort of a stepwise function. And we controlled for gender and age. We analyzed drinkers only because there was quite a differential between Mexico and the U.S. In the proportion of drinkers, 71% in Texas and 52% in Mexico. So this shows the demographic and drinking characteristics, and you can probably see that gender and age were pretty equally distributed across the data sets. I will go with this. What we have here is we have the U.S. non-border and then the border and then the two border locations. Then we have the same for Mexico, non-border, border, and then the two Mexico border locations. As I said, the distribution proportion of drinkers was not real similar across the sites. So that's why we restricted ourselves to drinkers only here. And here you can see that for DSM-5 alcohol use disorders, that in the U.S., at the U.S. border, the prevalence was somewhat higher than the non-border location, and this is significant at 0.10, so marginally significant. However, in Mexico, the Mexico border was significantly lower than the non-border in the prevalence of alcohol use disorder. Secondly, which we found sort of interesting, was that if you look across Laredo in the U.S., you see that for all of these drinking outcomes, the prevalence is quite a lot higher than in the sister cities of Brownsville and McAllen. And we found exactly the same thing in Mexico, with the Laredo, sister city of Nuevo Laredo, showing higher prevalence on all of these outcomes than the other sister cities of Reynosa and Matamoros in Mexico. Here you can see the probability of alcohol use disorder by volume of consumption. And there are no significant differences in the U.S. Border versus non-border location. However, in Mexico, you can see at the very lowest and the very highest of volume levels that the non-border was higher than the border. Here shows the similar table for 5+ drinking days. And you can see that, again, in Mexico, at the very highest 5+ days, that the non-border was significantly higher than the border, the likelihood of having an alcohol use disorder. I will say, even though none of the differences on the U.S. side were statistically significant, you will see a trend here that the border tends to be higher than the non-border across the 5+ drinking days. So this shows the same data just in a graph to give you sort of a visual representation. And as you can see, the largest difference, well, this is Mexico non-border, Mexico border, and then these two are the U.S. And Mexico non-border is, Mexico border is the lowest, and the biggest difference between border and non-border is here for Mexico. And here you see the same thing for 5+ drinking days. And again, actually, the difference of border effect seems to be even greater here for Mexico, little difference in the U.S. Then we have the same data by gender. So this is males by volume. Again, you can see the biggest difference is Mexico. All of these, by the way, sort of start out similar and then really diverge at these higher volume levels and also at higher 5+ drinking days. Again, you see this big difference among males for 5+ drinking days in Mexico. Here we have the same data for females, and you can see an even bigger border effect size for Mexico. This is volume, and this is 5+ drinking days. So in summary, rates of alcohol use disorders were marginally greater at the border compared to the non-border in the U.S., but the opposite was true in Mexico, where border effects appeared larger for both males and females than in the U.S., and especially large for females. So these data suggest that the border proximity may affect alcohol use disorders in both countries, but actually in opposite directions. And we started thinking about this, and we thought, well, maybe it has to do with the relative prosperity of the border compared to the interior in both countries, with poor areas on both sides being at greater risk for alcohol use disorders in the more affluent areas. And we felt that this, coupled with the greater stress at the border compared to the interior on the U.S. side, and also greater availability of alcohol in Mexico, where residents could just run across the border and drink underage and cheap alcohol, that this may also be a factor in this. The prevalence of alcohol use disorder was more similar within sister city pairs spanning the border than between border sites on the same side, and we thought that was an interesting finding. And we thought this may be sort of like hot spots, with Laredo, Nuevo Laredo really seeming to have a higher prevalence. So we think that this maybe bears more research. And we also thought that this finding suggested there's a lot of fluidity across the border in both directions, and so that these, even though these two cities are in separate countries, that they may be more alike in drinking and also lots of other ways than a city on the same side of the border that's more geographically removed. Of course, on the U.S. side, we weren't able to determine from these cross-sectional data whether people with more harmful drinking patterns gravitate to the border, or whether being at the border and exposed to the stress and alcohol availability and so on actually influences these individuals, predisposing them to harmful use. And Texas may not be representative, of course, of the border in the U.S. We chose one state because we felt it controlled for a lot of things that may have affected the relationship. So that's the good side. The downside, of course, is that we do lose heterogeneity, and we really can't say if this is representative of the other border cities on the U.S. side. So finally, we think the data suggests that border proximity may predict alcohol use disorders, and we are doing further research to explain this. One thing we're doing now is looking at cross-border mobility. It may not just be living at the border, but it may be whether people cross back and forth a lot. So this is a paper that we're currently exploring now. So, thank you.